The Book of Esther, Chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1, Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Esther 3, verse 1. After these events, King Xerxes honored Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, elevating him and giving him a seat of honor higher than that of all the other nobles. The king promoted a man by the name of Haman. He promoted him to the position of prime minister. In other words, Haman is the most powerful person in the kingdom, second only to the king. Verse 2, all the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid honor to Haman, for the king had commanded this concerning him. But Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor. By order of the king, everyone was to bow before Haman out of respect. And apparently all did, all except Mordecai, the cousin of Queen Esther. Now, he evidently felt a kneel or a bow was something that should be given to God and no one else. So while everybody else was doing it, all the other court officials, he would not. Verse 3. Then the royal officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, "Why do you disobey the king's command?" The palace officials couldn't figure Mordecai out. What's the big deal? Why not bow like the rest of us? And he doesn't really give an answer. At least an answer is not recorded for us in Scripture. But it does say in verse 4, day after day, they spoke to him, but he refused to comply. Therefore, they told Haman about it, to see whether Mordecai's behavior would be tolerated, for he had told them that he was a Jew. Well, evidently the reason involved his religion. He wouldn't do it because he was a Jew, and a true Jew is someone who worships God Almighty. No matter how many times his fellow officers told him to bow before Haman, Mordecai would not do it because he was a Jew. And finally, his fellow officers talked to Haman and asked if he was going to continue to tolerate this. Verse 5. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was enraged. Haman evidently never noticed that Mordecai wasn't kneeling. But now that he knows, he's furious. His pride was hurt, and he had a lot of pride to hurt, too. Verse 6. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes. Talk about overreacting. Haman, not satisfied with simply killing Mordecai, the man who refused to bow before him, the guilty one in his eyes, decided that all Mordecai's people should be killed. These people worship God. They won't bow, they won't scrape before a big shot like me. They all must be killed. 7. In the 12th year of King Xerxes, in the first month, the month of Nisan, they cast the pur, that is the lot, in the presence of Haman, to select a day and a month. And the lot fell on the 12th month, the month of Adar. I guess Haman wanted to pick a lucky date to kill all the Jews. or to suggest that they be killed. And as a result, he and his friends had the equivalent of a lottery. And the day chosen was around March 7th, which was almost a year away. Verse 8. Then Haman said to the king, to King Xerxes, "There is a certain people dispersed and scattered among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom, whose customs are different from those of all other people, and who do not obey the king's laws." Stop there for a second. Notice how Haman didn't give any examples of laws which the Jews broke. And by the way, he didn't mention the Jews by name either. But he just said, "There's these people, king. They don't keep your laws. None of them do. They don't keep any of your laws," was the implication. And again, he doesn't give any examples of which laws they are breaking, and the king didn't ask for any examples either, which is really sad. The fact is, one Jew, Mordecai, disobeyed one law, and that was Mordecai refusing to kneel before Haman. But Haman made it sound as if all the Jews were nothing but a bunch of rebels. They had no regard for the king at all. Last part of verse 8. Haman says, "It is not in the king's best interest to tolerate them." Yeah, as if he's doing this for the benefit of the king. Didn't have anything to do with the king. This wasn't about the king. It was about Haman's hatred and Haman's revenge. Verse 9. "If it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them, and I will put 10,000 talents of silver into the royal treasury for the men who carry out this business." Haman, his hatred was so strong, his pride was so hurt, that he would pay the salaries of those who would do the killing. That's how bad he wanted them out of business. And the king may have been flattered. "Man, Haman must really like me. Look how he's willing to spend his own money to get rid of those who do not respect me and respect my law. Oh, how Haman must really like me." And it wasn't even about the king. It was about Haman. 10. So the king took his signet ring from his finger and gave it to Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. He gave him his signet ring. And by giving Haman his ring, the king was saying, "Do what you want to do. Make it a law. Use my signature." Verse 11. The king says, "Keep the money." "Keep the money," the king said to Haman, "and do with the people as you please." The king said, "Keep your money, Haman." The king trusted Haman, so he would pay for the slaughter himself. "Don't worry about it. I've got this slaughter, Haman. I'll flip the bill for this one." And no questions asked. What were they guilty of? Who were these people? The king didn't ask any questions at all. 12. Then on the 13th day of the first month, the royal secretaries were summoned. They wrote out in the script of each province and in the language of each people all Haman's orders to the king's satraps, the governors of the various provinces, and the nobles of the various peoples. These were written in the name of King Xerxes himself and sealed with his own ring. And it says in verse 13, dispatches were sent out. They were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces with the order to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and little children, on a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, and to plunder their goods. And I suppose Haman planned on confiscating all the wealth of the Jews. 14. A copy of the text of the edict was to be issued as law in every province and made known to the people of every nationality so they would be ready for that day. Haman wrote this law, which was a death sentence for all Jews, even little children. He wrote it in all the languages of the kingdom, and he sent a copy everywhere. Everyone needed to know that the Jews must be killed on the day chosen. 15. Spurred on by the king's command, the couriers went out, and the edict was issued in the citadel of Susa. The king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Susa was bewildered. The law confused the people of the land. What's this all about? Why do all the Jews have to be killed? The people didn't hate the Jews. There was no reason to. They obeyed the laws of the land as much as anyone. They were good neighbors. The people didn't understand. But Haman was happy. He and the king sat down and drank. Maybe they offered each other a toast on this plan to slaughter the people, who the king still, they still don't know. He still doesn't know who they are that are going to be killed. As far as we know, the scripture doesn't say that he knew. Well, we'll pick it up in chapter 4 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.